Let's take a moment and prepare our hearts for the service ahead. Church, as we begin, we'll sing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. All five songs in the bulletin today are favorites of yours, and several of you have named Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing 553. Joshua, please lead us in this song. Well, welcome everyone. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are, that you love us in spite of ourselves, in spite of myself. Father God, thank you for giving me your mercy, and that we can ask you to work among us today in this hour ahead. Father, may we worship you in song and in the opening of the scriptures, in our giving, in our fellowship together, and as we observe the Lord's Supper together. Father God, I ask that it would be about you from our hearts, that we would not only worship you today, but tomorrow as well, each day of the week. Father, I realize that ultimately we are to be worshipers who gather together to worship. And Father God, I ask you too, that those who aren't able to be with us, like my dear wife, who's facing some internal trouble, you know what it is. Father God, I ask you that you would care for her and meet her needs and even heal her from this while we are yet here today. And Father, I know there are others that aren't with us for similar reasons. Thank you for taking care of those who have recently had virus and sickness. Father, thank you that you've brought them to the place where they're healthy enough to be with us again today. Thank you also, Heavenly Father, that we can open your word together. I ask that as we do so, you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing Be Thou My Vision, number 143.
Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all the prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching hereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please take your songbooks and remain standing, and we'll sing another favorite, Because He Lives, number 387.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 5. Today, we'll be reading further, verses 6 through 10. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we look into this portion of your word, I ask you that you would be the one that teaches us, that the Holy Spirit would open our understanding and also convict us of the need that we may have to change in some area of life. Father God, I thank you for each one who is here. I don't know their hearts, but I ask you, Lord God, if there's someone here who is not sure of their eternal life, of their salvation, their faith in Jesus Christ, whether they're born again or not, that you would convict them of that need to make sure today. Father God, we ask you that no one would leave this place without having made Jesus Christ their Savior, their Lord of their life, the one who paid the price for their sin, through faith in him who died, was buried, and rose again. Father God, I ask you too that you would be honored as we explore this portion of Scripture together for your sake and your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we considered the day of the Lord in verses 1 through 5. The day of the Lord. It was a subject that some have confused, and yet it's not that complicated. we learn that there's an article of speech, the very first word in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians, where it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren. When you see an article of speech like that in the Bible, and it is in the Greek text as well, it is an introduction to a new subject. It tells you, this is what we were talking about, but now we're talking about this. So, but is an important word in our Bibles. It presents something different. This section is not about the rapture, as was chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. This is another day, not that day. It's another day, actually an age to come that will begin with sudden destruction. Look at chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. For yourselves know perfectly well, or perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The day of the Lord begins with a time of destruction, a time of trouble, a time of trials. We call it the tribulation. Obviously, Jesus Christ is not a thief in the night. He's not a bandit. And that is not, it doesn't fit the context, first of all. We also noted the pronouns last week. In verses 1 and 2, you see the Apostle Paul using the pronouns ye and you and yourselves. Verses 1 and 2. But verse 3 shifts to different pronouns, they and them. It's a group of people who are not brethren, as are those in verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need. Verse 3, for when they shall say, see, peace and safety. So there's a shift in pronouns. When you read your Bible, pay attention to that. It makes a whole, it makes Bible interpretation much more simple. People complicate things that they should not complicate. If you pay attention to just these pronouns and articles of speech, those who are not brethren are not saved and will face terrible tribulation and destruction. Verse 4 begins with, but ye. So it's back to believers in Thessalonica once again. If you're saved, you will not face darkness, verses 4 and 5, if you're saved. Verse 5 says, we are the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night or of darkness. I'm glad for that. People are walking around in spiritual and mental darkness all around us. What a contrast God gives us between light and darkness. It's a day and night difference. My dad used to say, those two guys are as different as day and night. Did you ever use that figure of speech? Sure we have. Sure we have. What are contrasts between daytime and nighttime? We can see during the day, light reveals an object that may be something we'd trip over at night. That's an obvious one. And the devil would like to do that. You ever use your flashlight app on your phone? Why? Ben and I used it last Wednesday night. He was trying to hook up their 50-amp service to their trailer, and we used that briefly. Why do you use it? Well, so you can see what you're doing, and it's obvious, I guess. You ever see a Wolverine during the daytime? I have twice in my life, but normally they're out at night. They're nocturnal creatures. You know, most bad critters are out at night. Those that are dangerous, most of the time. But good critters are out during the morning. And I think that's why when the sun rises, the birds sing. That's why I think there's, God shows us this contrast between light and dark and day and night. How about warm and cold? That's another contrast between night and day, isn't it? I went and looked this morning just at sunrise and it was 35 degrees at our house. Now it's a lot warmer than that, a lot more comfortable. I've worked with some of our law enforcement locally, and even elsewhere occasionally, and they emphasize, and some of you know this, there are two cultures out there. Chuck could tell us that. Chuck worked in corrections for a long time. Others in, well, both Chuck and Chris have worked with people like that. There are two different cultures. Those who are out at night and those who are out during the day, basically, is how it works. And they live in our country, our cities, even our county here. I've gone out on some night calls, and it was normally not fun. Jude wrote about the spiritual darkness and its result for those who walk in darkness. He calls them, we know them as apostates, and he uses an illustration of Cain in the Old Testament, who murdered Abel, Balaam, and Korah. Here's what the 13th verse of Jude says. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wondering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We don't want anyone to face hell. Will not only be torment and fire, but it will be so black no one can see each other. There will be no buddies getting together in hell. That's not how it will work. It will be lonely torture in darkness. Jesus said to Nicodemus, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I'm glad that Jesus, the light of the world, came into this world, and he's made a solution for us in regard to what we deserve in darkness. But if you believe in Jesus, who is the light of the world, you are not walking and stumbling in darkness, nor will you face dark days known as the tribulation. That day that Paul was referring to when he wrote to the Thessalonians, the day of the Lord, will not overtake you as a thief. You will be with the Lord in the light of his presence. You will have life. Praise God for that. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. The life was the light of men. John 8 verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you alive? On the back of your bulletin is a very, very simple outline, and all the answers are in the title. Are you alive? You know what I'm talking about. We all understand I'm talking about eternal spiritual life. If you are alive in Christ, you and I are told, we're to add light to this dark world. We're to be a light to this dark world. Dr. Oliver developed this truth on Friday evening from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And in the 16th verse, especially, the Christian has an influence in this world, and we are to let your light so shine. Remember? Yes, we are. Before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think about it. Think about that. We have to be different to make a difference. If you add darkness to darkness, what does that do? Nothing. It only makes things blacker, I guess, if that were possible. You can't warm a cold object by adding ice, can you? You can't bring calm and quiet into a chaotic, noisy room by yelling. I've seen people try that, and it doesn't work. You can't help an alcoholic by offering him a drink. And you certainly cannot displace darkness by wearing all black. That is one reason a New Testament church should never copy the world. We're to make a difference in the world, not be like the world. We're not to look like the world, sound like the world, because we will never make a difference in the world by being like the world. Our Bibles teach in several places. Here's one example. Leviticus 10:10 says, and that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. That is the reason Valley Baptist Church does not promote social drinking or going to a bar for a meal or attending rock concerts, even if they call it Christian. There's a famous rock group from Ireland called U2, and it's popular among some Christian organizations, but we don't promote that kind of stuff because it's like the world, and we are to make a difference in this world, not be like the world. However, genuine Bible-believing Christians do make a difference in our world. Did you know that? We do make a difference. We may not see it, we may not recognize that necessarily, but we do, just our presence. And even sociologists recognize this. Because real Christianity is a factor in the restraint of evil, they call it cultural Christianity. Have you heard the term, cultural Christianity being batted around? Okay. Donald Trump believes in God. That God does good in our society because Christians do good things. Donald Trump believes that, and he's right. Christian culture has made a difference for good and against evil in America. Sometimes he sounds like a Christian, in part because he likes the influence that Christians have in culture, and in part because he wants our votes. Is he a Christian? I don't think so. Will I vote for him? Sure. Why? Well, for one, if elected, he will help protect the right for Christians to say and do what they believe. We can meet like this, and he will support that, whereas his opponent would try to limit us and silence us from proclaiming God's word. Another reason, Donald Trump is for Israel, as we saw in part in the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem in his presidency in Israel, whereas his opponent is not really for Israel, but sympathetic toward those who are so-called Palestinians. God has promised and does bless those who bless Israel and curses those who curse them. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Other reasons, as a Christian, I will vote for him. He tends to stand pro-life. Not like I would like, but in that direction. Whereas his opponent openly champions government-subsidized abortion and demand on demand anywhere, anytime. And that's the murder of innocent people. Call it what it is. It's murder. By the way, vote no on our Montana Constitutional Initiative 128. Vote no on that. It's craftily designed to protect those who want to have an abortion anywhere at any time. And it would be embedded in the Montana Constitution if it passes. Vote no. I've been disturbed by so many who, without thinking, accept the lie being promoted, and they call it reproductive rights or reproductive freedom. I do not know of anyone, conservative or leftist, I do not know of any conservative that wants to limit your right to reproductivity, to having babies. You can have as many as you want in the United States of America. You have that freedom. You have that right. So they're twisting what they mean by it. No one wants to take away the right to freedom and reproductivity, having children, other than Planned Parenthood and ACLU and many other lobby groups, and even countries like China took away that right, where they limited the number of a family to 2 children. It's a lie. What the advocates of CI 128 are promoting is limiting human reproductivity. Not the freedom or the rights, but limiting it. For almost any reason, by securing the right to abortion in the Montana Constitution. Another reason Donald Trump calls a man, and a woman, that's why I would want to vote for him. Whereas Kamala and Senator Tester seem to have no clue, nor do they care, other than anyone can be anything they want in their own eyes. And Senator Tester even wrote a bill allowing men and boys to participate in women's and girls' sports. There is much, much more I could say, but the point is, verses 4 through 6, the Christian is a child of the light and should and must be different and biblically true, for we are not of the night and not of darkness spiritually. Therefore, verse 6 begins, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The first point is, are you alive? The second one is, are you awake? Sometimes I get physically tired and don't seem very awake, but that's not what this is talking about. Sadly, there are way too many Christians that are complacent and apathetic, who are satisfied with their own salvation and not willing to be actively involved in turning the tide. Maybe that's a poor illustration to use. God's the one that turns the tide through the gravity of the moon. But at any rate, you know what I'm talking about. America is headed down a moral slippery slope. And we need to be part of turning that around. They seem okay with the idea, some Christians, that the world is running headlong toward destruction, the tribulation time, and, oh, well, I've got mine. That is not a Bible attitude, dear Christian. What if it were today? We sing that song. How about tomorrow? How about later this week? Millions will be plunged into the day of the Lord or Jacob's trouble. Don't you care? Don't they care? We should. We must. Do you care? Let us not sleep as do others. Give them a gospel tract. And Dr. David Oliver at the Bible conference last Friday evening told us somebody handed him a gospel tract as a teenager, and he read it, and he accepted Jesus as a Savior. That's not hard to do. I've handed people tracts, you know, and I'm not even going to guess at how many, but that's okay. That's not the point. All I want to say is, a lot of times you're afraid how they'll receive it, or they won't receive it, or they'll, whatever, punch you in the face. I've never been punched yet for handing somebody a gospel tract. Probably the funniest time was I handed a cement truck driver a gospel tract to a cement truck driver, and I said, here, I would like for you to have this. Please read that. And he did this and stepped back and said, I don't want that. And I was still standing like this, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, maybe you know somebody who does need this. Would you give it to them? And he stepped forward and took it, and he said, I do. That was about the worst confrontation I've ever had, handing somebody a gospel tract. That wasn't a bad deal. Give out done books. By the way, we ordered another 100, and I see 4, 3 over there on the missions table left. Thank you for handing out done books to people. Ask them to get together and talk about it. Make a friend. Have a Bible study with them. Write an article to the editor. I haven't for way too long. Write an article. We need a Bible Christian point of view in the letters to the editor and the Tobacco Valley News. Pray. Please don't forget to pray. Pray. We can do that. We need to be earnest in prayer. Fold a sheet of paper like Daryl does and share the gospel with somebody. Take someone to lunch to talk about the Lord and the gospel. Invite them in. I believe the Bible pattern for this is, and I'll say it twice, Christians should go out and win others to Christ and then bring them into the church to grow. It's not wrong to invite somebody to church. That's a good thing. But the Bible pattern is you go out and you share the gospel with somebody else, and they, by God's grace, understand and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, then you bring them into the church to grow in their new faith. That's the Bible pattern. Third, we've seen, are you alive? Are you awake? Now the third one is, are you alert? Yes, I borrowed this from children's camps and teen camps. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? There's a whole action that goes along with this, that are you alive, alert? I'm sorry, alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic? You want to do the calisthenics? No. Okay. It's a way, first thing in the morning, to wake up kids at camp, okay? So I borrowed my outline from that. But let us watch and be sober, verse 6 says that. Let us watch and be sober. The Greek word translated watch is be vigilant. It is defined watchful, circumspect, attentive to discover and avoid danger or provide safety. It's not just about us. It's about providing safety for someone else. Watch and be sober. We're not watching out for the rapture. That's not what we're watching out for. We are to be alert and circumspectly watching out for opportunities to provide safety from the danger to come for others. Watch and be sober. Yes, this word sober means to abstain from wine, but it also means to be sober-minded or a clear thinker or rational and sane. In other words, be wise. To help a poor lost soul out of the danger to come. And there is danger to come. You know, 1 Peter 5:8, right? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, or because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Can you watch and with a clear mind guide someone away from the danger of being tricked by the adversary? It is a Christian virtue that we must develop. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. They're not aware of what they're about to face. They're like drunken at night. They don't know what's coming. Like standing in the middle of the railroad tracks, of course. And they are oblivious to what's about to come, the day of the Lord. But we're not. We're not oblivious to that. We have a responsibility, we have a privilege and a responsibility. Verses 8, 9, and 10 shift back to us, the pronouns. Verse 7, they. Verses 8, 9, and 10, we. And us. Juanetta's grandmother once asked me if the armor of God is mentioned anywhere else in the Bible other than Ephesians chapter 6, which Tom read for us today. Thank you, Tom. And yes, here we have two mentioned in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We have the breastplate, which protects the heart, and the helmet, which protects the head, that is mentioned here. Here we also see the threefold emphasis on faith, love, and hope, don't we? Yes, we do. That's used many times in the New Testament, those three together. Dr. Warren Wiersbe wrote, because the day is approaching, it is time to wake up, clean up, and dress up. And when we dress up, we had better put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Number 4, are you enthusiastic about all of this? About what is to come and what you can do for the Lord in the meantime, it ought to motivate us. We've talked about that several times. Verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're walking in the light, and you are not appointed to face that wrath that is to come. But we ought to be enthusiastic not only about that glory that we face, but the potential danger that they face. We ought to be enthusiastic about our protection from the day of wrath that will come upon the whole earth. Verse 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We should be enthusiastic about your protective armor that we just read about in verse 8. For it's for here and now. Are you enthusiastic about that? Are you enthusiastic about your part in helping lost folks understand that they can be spared from the tribulation to come? We ought to be enthusiastically out there sharing the faith that God has given to us. Are you alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica to boost them forward in verse 6, where it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep." He wants us to serve him in this way, and it applies directly to us who are saved and part of this local church here. In a moment, we'll observe the Lord's Supper. If you are alive in Christ and living for him, obedient to him, and serving him, we invite you to join us in the observance of the Lord's Supper. This is for believers in Jesus Christ to do till he comes again, according to 1 Corinthians 11:26. It does not give anyone salvation. We want you to understand, observing the Lord's Supper does not give salvation to anyone. It shows what Christ did for us when he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, when he died and rose again for us. It does not make a person more spiritual either. That's not why we do this. We do this because it's commanded for the local church to do until he comes again. It does not wash away sin. Jesus paid that price for us, and we must confess our sin. I guess I ought to make a comment. Misty had to leave because she's going to work. Praise the Lord, she was with us until the last moment, okay? But as far as confessing our sin, we should come before this very serious ordinance that Jesus put in place for us to do until he comes again with hearts prepared for this. So I would say we all need to confess our sin, for he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. I'd like to take a moment of silence. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes and take care of any matter before the Lord that needs to be taken care of, and then we'll sing "The Old Rugged Cross." Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can pray, that we can open our hearts before you. I ask you that you would search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in us and show us the paths of righteousness. Father God, I ask you too that as we partake of this ordinance that you have given us to do until the Lord Jesus comes again, Father, I ask you that we would honor you and making sure our hearts are right before you and before others, that if there's a matter that needs to be taken care of between any individual here and someone else, Father, that they would determine to do that for your honor and glory. Lord, I ask you that as we participate in this, that it would be that which pleases you and honors you. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our songbooks to 310, and we'll just sing one verse of the Old Ragged Cross, verse 1 of 310.